from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
David Kopp writes about college football and college basketball for CBS Sports. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at David W. Kopp. Kopp, the Grizzlies have now signed Luke Kennard. I ask you, is this the deepest 1 through 10 the Grizzlies have had? So here's my projected, here's my projected 10. You ready?
Let's go.
Ja, duh. Dez, Jaren. I still think they're going to start Marcus Smart. Like, I'm not saying they don't maybe make a change. I still think to start the year it's going to be Ja, Marcus Smart, Desmond Bain, Jaren Jackson, and Zach Edey. And then the next five guys that are going to get the most minutes are going to be Vince Williams, Brandon Clark, Luke Kennard, Gigi Jackson, Santi Aldama. When you consider that two guys are basically on max deals and then you have another two guys that are on $20+ million deals, that's pretty good depth for a team that's got that much money tied up into that few players.
Yeah, not to mention, even deeper than that, if you want to go, looks like Cam Spencer and Jalen Wells are guys who...
Well, and Pippen looked great, too.
Pippen looked great, too. And those are all guys who played multiple seasons of college basketball. Pippen obviously has a couple of years of professional experience already under his belt, but, I mean, Cam Spencer was in college basketball for half a decade. Jalen Wells... Yeah, I know he was late to the game in terms of D1, but he came from D2, so he's played a few years. So they're like older rookies, too. So they are deep. That's great and all, but it all still comes down to Ja Morant.
Yeah.
Because if Ja Morant is not healthy or if Ja Morant is in trouble, then this thing doesn't work. So that's kind of ultimately what it's all about. Because, yeah, it's great to have depth in the NBA, and that's helpful with just getting through the regular season. But if your stars are not available, then it's all for naught. So, I mean, it's a nice resource, but I don't know that I necessarily feel better about the situation or the season just because they are 10 or 11 deep.
Yeah, I think if you could give me one stat to let me evaluate how I think the Grizzlies season went, I would say how many games did Ja play? Because weirdly, I do agree with you, like, on the sense of it's always about whether or not he's available. I will say the last 18 months, or really I guess maybe the last year, because last summer was still kind of weird, I feel much better about believing that Ja's going to stay out of trouble. I don't have that fear right now.
Hey, I've got the faith, too. I got the reverse scratch sneakers the other day. Those are nice, man. I got the old school Grizz colors there with the, that teal.
Oh, yeah.
And the little stripe through them, and then the... what's the other little old throwback? A little bit of red, you know, from when they came from Vancouver back in the early 2000s. They look nice. I'm ready to ready to put them on.
I do like the old Bear logo. It's more ferocious.
Yeah.
The one
I do too. Yeah. And we're far enough now to where the old school Grizzly stuff is like legitimately throwback. I mean, I remember everybody being super excited when the team store came out with the throwback stuff about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And yeah, anyway, they look sharp.
We're talking with David Cobb here of CBS Sports. Go follow him on Twitter on X at David W. Cobb. In your mind, as we head into the college football season, like, what are the questions that you're thinking about as we head into teams reporting now?
Yeah, it's kind of nice to finally see all the practice videos and
even
though they're not in pads yet. To see people hitting sleds.
It's good to see even fake football. You know what I mean? Like, we're watching, like, receiver hard knocks. Like, it's good to just, it's good. It gets the juices flowing.
Yeah, and more regular press conferences and stuff. I mean, for me, it's a lot of it is about Alabama. One, we're getting more access from Alabama than ever before. So you're going to get assistant coaches talking to the media. You're going to get more players talking to the media than you ever had under Saban. And it comes at a time when there's more questions than ever about Alabama. And my questions with Alabama are largely about the secondary and about the receivers, because we're talking about a lot of youth and a lot of unproven players, both in the secondary and at receiver for Alabama. A team that we are assuming is still clearly in the top 10, maybe even in the top 5, but we're making some leaps with that assumption. So I want to hear what Kalen DeBoer has to say about his receiver group, about his secondary. I want to see what the other players on that team have to say about those guys, because those are the two areas where they kind of got hit. I think they're still going to be really good in the front seven defensively and pretty good up front on offense. And I just have questions. Just questions about some of those perimeter players, though, for Alabama.
Well, I mean, I think another fair question, we've seen Kalen DeBoer run really good offense, but the two quarterbacks that largely did it were Michael Penix Jr., a really accurate thrower, and Jake Haener, who was, you know, a really accurate thrower. While Milroe has a pretty good deep ball, they're, you know, those are different types of passers than Milroe is.
Yeah, what Milroe has that definitely Michael Penix didn't have, though, is the mobility.
Yes, no
and
question.
I love Jake Haener, man. Like, Jake Haener was a freaking beast at Fresno. He was super fun to watch. He was a little bit slight of frame, though, whereas Jalen Milroe, not only is he going to run like Jake Haener did, but he's going to be able to absorb some of the hits, which was what Jake Haener struggled with, because he ended up getting banged up. So
no, I feel like the Jake Haener experience was watching him deliver a strike, break a rib, go sit on the sideline on a knee for a play, and then like suck it up and go back in. I feel like that was the Haener experience.
He was the ultimate football guy.
Yeah.
So that was fun. I loved watching him. He was like the – not only was he like the – he wasn't just Pac-12 after dark. He was Mountain West after dark, which is like sicko of the sickos. But hey, he ended up getting a look in the NFL. I don't know if he's on a roster now. But no, I love Jalen Milroe with Kalen DeBoer, because Kalen DeBoer is a really good quarterback developer. And Alabama's offensive staff was in flux last year. And it was Tommy Reese, right, as coordinator. And,
how could we forget?
You know,
when he tried to play Tyler Buchner.
Right. I don't know if I totally trust Tommy Reese as a quarterback developer. Now he's got one of the best quarterback developers in college football with him. So Jalen Milroe, I think, could be even better than he was last year. And he ended up being pretty good as last season went along.
What's your quarterback ranking tier in the league?
Yeah, I guess I'd start with Carson Beck just by default. I think a lot of quarterbacks in the SEC would be at the top of the list if they had his weapons, though. So with that in mind, I'm willing to kind of be surprised here. Give me Jackson Arnold, you know, with a plus 1,500 odds to be the best quarterback in the SEC, or a Nico, or even a Garrett Nussmeier. I mean, there's three right there that I'm really interested and anxious to see, because I think those three are just as talented as Carson Beck and Jalen Milroe and Jackson Dart. So I wouldn't be surprised if any one of those three ends up being all SEC caliber. It's just we haven't seen them yet because they were sitting behind other good players.
I think my question with Nussmeier is, and I'd mentioned to Connor, I'm playing the video game a little bit differently, I think, than everybody else is. Like, I'm largely like playing Friends Online, or I'm just playing to get used to the game. And so I've just been playing a lot of SEC games just to kind of
get a feel for teams one way or the other.
I do wonder, like, we've seen Kelly win with a lot of different styles of quarterbacks, but when they are at their best, the quarterback is a threat to run. And even if it's a guy like Tommy Reese was, who wasn't like a prolific runner, he was still like a solid college runner. I haven't been wowed by the mobility of Nussmeier. I wonder if we're getting Mettenberger 2.0.
Yeah, but they've also got a different scheme or a different system this year because they brought in Joe Sloan.
Yeah.
As well, I mean, I guess he was already there, but they've
moved. Yeah, whatever. They've changed play callers.
Right. So maybe there's a bit more accommodation there, because if I'm not mistaken, Denbrock went back to Notre Dame and is going to be working with Riley Leonard there, which I love that because Riley Leonard can scoot, kind of like Jaden Daniels. So you put Denbrock, who just won the Heisman, with Jaden Daniels with Riley Leonard at Notre Dame. I think that makes Notre Dame like really interesting because their defense is sick. It's going to be really good. Now you add a dynamic playmaker and a quarterback, which they have rarely had. I think, anyway, that's a little bit of a tangent there, but I'm excited about
Notre
Dame.
They play A&M week one, and that's a massive game for both teams.
It is. Yeah, that's a interesting dynamic with Mike Elko, now the head coach at Texas A&M, taking on his former quarterback and Riley Leonard. They were both together at Duke last year, which I actually think that gives A&M a little bit of a leg up because Mike Elko
knows
everything.
I think Elko is going to have a pretty good plan for Leonard.
Right. He knows what Riley Leonard likes to do. But as it pertains to LSU, I think that's a fair concern. But I still think Garrett Nussmeier is going to throw for 3,800 yards or something ridiculous this year at LSU.
No, let's be clear. If LSU doesn't reach its ceiling this year, I don't think it's going to be the offense. I think it's going to be the other side of the ball.
All right. I love the coordinator hire, though, bringing in Blake Baker from Missouri.
What do we think? What's going to be the week one overreaction game? Like the classic Florida hosting Utah in the swamp, Florida's back. Like, what's our week one overreaction game going to be? I think most would point to, I guess you could make a case for LSU USC because whoever wins that's going to feel pretty good. But I don't know. What are you penciling in?
Well, Miami, Florida is in that conversation for sure. Because if Florida loses, everyone's going to be writing the Billy Napier career obit. By the same token, if Miami loses that game, Mario Cristobal, he's going to be 12-14 if they lose that game. I mean, come on, like that's just pathetic. So there's a lot on the line for both those teams and both those coaches. Another one, though, that could absolutely get in that mix is Clemson and Georgia, because there's a pretty good chance that Clemson just gets wiped off the map in week one by Georgia, written off completely. All the criticism of Dabo hits an early season peak, and then they go and disappear into the ACC for a while and reemerge in November, and they've got 10 wins or something. So we might overreact to how bad Clemson looks in week one, when it could just be a situation where they are up against literally the best team in college football.
No, that was another thing playing the game that you realize, even in comparing to Alabama's defense, Georgia's defense on that video game is so freaking fast that you're just reminded, it's like, oh yeah, they still haven't lost a regular season game in 3 years.
Right. Absolutely, yeah. 24-0 in SEC regular season games over the last 3 years. I mean, that's just absurd. And they got both coordinators back. They got their starting quarterback returning. Their schedule is tougher, but that's okay, because there is margin for error now for Georgia that there wasn't before. They lost one game. They lost the SEC championship game last year and didn't make the playoff. Well, this year, with the type of schedule that Georgia has, they could very easily get into the playoff as a three-loss team. And let me tell you, I don't think Georgia's going to lose three games. So I think there's a real good chance that Georgia is standing at the top of the heap come season's end.
All right, if Georgia doesn't get it done this year, what happened?
Well, I guess I'd have to say quarterback injury. They would still be really good, because you can put in another player there at quarterback. And let's go this route, Jeffrey. Let's say there's too much off-field distraction, because if he doesn't come down hard on Ra-Ra Thomas for a second domestic violence charge in a year's time, and these driving issues, we've seen them continue to mount. If there is ascension in that locker room, an uproar or unrest or whatever you want to call it, like that could be a factor that knocks Georgia off course here a little bit. And a lot of the outside and external conversation around Georgia is centered on that right now. And if some of that starts to seep into the locker room, let's not pretend like that couldn't become an issue.
If it goes wrong for Texas, what do you think happened?
Oh, well, they'd be fine if there was a quarterback injury. They got a kid named Arch Manning as their backup. I think it would be receiver issues there because, I mean, look at it. I mean, they're losing almost all of their top targets from a year ago. And, yeah, like they're still super talented there. Isaiah Bond comes to mind as a transfer from Alabama who's going to be pretty incredible for Texas. But that discounts. This isn't a video game. And you do have to have chemistry between quarterback and wide receiver. So, I mean, there's a scenario there where it takes them a while to get on the same page. Texas, you're now in the SEC, and there aren't a whole lot of gimmies. And if you're not dialed in and ready to go pretty early with the schedule they play, then I think maybe a lack of quarterback receiver chemistry could be an issue there.
Well, I mean, to your point, I mean, while we both think Michigan's going to be a diminished team, that's still going to be a physical football team. Like, I think the other question I have with Texas is, you know, you've got to replace some studs up front defensively. And those guys, like we saw, they made up for a lot of problems that they had in the secondary. Like, what if you don't really replace those guys up front and that defense even takes a step back? Because it wasn't like it was a great defense. It was like a serviceable defense.
Yeah, you're right. Like, they got to replace Sweat and then Murphy. They were both, you know, highly selected draft picks at defensive tackle. And you go to Michigan, well, they've got Donovan Edwards still. So they don't have J.J. McCarthy. Their offense isn't going to be super dynamic or super explosive. But Michigan's still the type of team that can win a game by 10 or more points by throwing 15 or fewer passes because they're that strong, they're that physical, they're that good defensively. So, yeah, if Donovan Edwards can reel off 5 or 6 yards a pop against Texas at a big house, that could be an early trap game for Texas. And then, you know, they also have to play Oklahoma still. They got to play Georgia. I mean, this is not going to be
back-to-back, by the way.
It's not a slam dunk automatic write them in the playoff situation with Texas. There are more questions with Texas to me than there are with Georgia.
Cobb, we appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, man, no problem.
That is David Cobb of CBS Sports. Want to let you know that is the last week to take advantage of the Summer of 1,000 Engagements going on through the end of the week. Saturday's the last day to take advantage of the Summer of 1,000 Engagements over at Robert Irwin Jewelers. That means you can still get up to 40% off engagement rings, and with purchases of $24.95 or more, you can get the free vacation for two, and it goes up all the way to, you can get from, you know, three-night stays at Myrtle Beach, three-night stays at Fort Lauderdale, Miami, Anaheim, Las Vegas, all the way up to getting an all-expense-paid cruise, but a free cruise with a on-store credit, or I should say on-ship credit, as well as airfare to Las Vegas, Orlando. Just go and check out all the deals going on to get the vacation with your purchase.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.